Welcome to The Nature of Florida, the Sunshine State's only podcast dedicated to its wild and natural places and the fight to preserve them. I'm your host, Oscar Corral, a two-time Emmy Award-winning filmmaker and journalist. I've dedicated much of my career to making films about environmental issues. Tune in each week to hear from a broad range of voices, from scientists to surfers, activists to mermaids, who are working on the front lines to save what's left of Florida's natural beauty and its wildlife. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Nature of Florida podcast. With me here today is Suzanne Scheiber. Suzanne is the founder and president of Dream Green Volusia, a local grassroots organization that advocates for environmental causes in Volusia County, which is a northeastern coastal county. Welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Suzanne, tell me a little bit about Dream Green Volusia. What exactly is it?
So we started out as a community organization and we're grassroots. It's been about 3.5 years ago. And towards the beginning of last year, we filed for nonprofit status in the state of Florida because it was an opportunity that came up where we could get some land purchased in Volusia County for conservation. And there wasn't enough funding available in the county. And they told me that I needed to raise funds. And I had a very limited amount of time to do it. So we filed for nonprofit status in around February of 2021. We are totally made up of volunteers, though, all of us, our core group, and all of our volunteers in the county. So even though we're a nonprofit, we're not a paid nonprofit. We just work in Volusia County, although I am very aware of, like, you know, various issues going on across the state.
What inspired you to start it?
So like a lot of people, something happened near my home that I didn't like. And for the first year, I was pretty stunned when I was looking into the way things happen, like with our government and approval process and things like that. And after 1 year of working with another group, I decided to just form my own group. When you're leader of your own group, you really have to be dedicated. I was doing an enormous amount in the other organization, and that was fine. But if I am going to lead a group, I want to be able to choose what I work on. And there are a lot of issues in our county. And we were working only working in the city I lived in. And I wanted to branch out across the whole county, which Volusia County is really large. So that's the main reason I started it is like, and a lot of times I find that people don't get active until something happens close by. So
do you want to talk about what happened near your home? Is it something that you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, I can. Everyone has their level of devastation, right? So I've been living in my same house for 35 years, and I'm not from Volusia County, but I've been living here a very long time. And what happened is at the front of my neighborhood, but off of the main road, they approved to clear cut an enormous amount of land on both sides of the road, on the main road, but going back towards my neighborhood. And they took, it's highly unusual, they took residential land and they rezoned it to commercial land. And it's literally right next to houses. So I live at the back of the neighborhood, but it was pretty devastating at the time when they did it, because how many people that are way back off of a main road have, you know, commercial come up next to them? To this day, they've only developed a portion of it. And there's an enormous clear-cut area that's been sitting there for 4 years. Because they had said that a grocery store would come in, but the grocery store committed to somewhere else. So this clear-cut, very large piece of land that goes all the way back towards a residential area has never been developed. It just sits empty, and it was filled. It was extremely low, so it was filled. And we had 19 historic trees cut down at the time, too. So, and it's close to a lake as well.
I think this theme is rampant throughout Florida. Everybody who lives in Florida has a story like this, where
They had some, you know, beautiful piece of land near them that has been developed, and it's become kind of relentless, the development. It's rampant. It's everywhere. And I think people all over Florida are asking themselves, you know, can this continue forever? Because what's happening, correct me if I'm wrong, is that people are watching their wild places vanish in their backyards and in their home counties and where they live. And I think it has an effect on people. They get upset about it because they didn't realize the value of those places until they were gone. Is that what happened in your case and in some of the people who joined your organization?
Yes. So in my city, the residents actually rose up when it happened, because most people don't pay attention to notices. And, you know, there are postings, but as you're driving down Granada Boulevard, you don't always see, or, you know, any main road, you can't read those signs necessarily as you're speeding by. So when it happened, people were shocked. I knew it was coming because I actually had attended the city meeting, but the general public did not know. And they literally rose up in this city, and it was in an election year. And the residents tried to replace all five of the city commissioners. That didn't happen. The city commissioners collected a very large amount of campaign contributions. In a city of 42,000 people, they collected $250,000. I mean, a very small percentage of votes. So, like, very small. So if you think 250,000 might not sound like a lot, that's divided between five people, and very, very small amount number of people contributed. So
I imagine that some of those contributions came from the very developers who want to develop these parcels of land.
They did, a lot of them. And they did end up getting reelected, all five. They all got reelected.
Why do you think that is, Suzanne? Why do you think they were reelected?
I think it has to do with name recognition. When you have very large campaign contributions, you can buy a lot of advertising. You know, they were on the radio going down the main road. They had signs about every 20 feet, literally. I mean, we're talking billboard signs here, not even yard signs. They took out, in Ormond Beach, we have the Ormond Observer, and they took out more than half of the newspaper with advertisements. It's not a very large newspaper. The newspaper, you know, of course, they want the money, so they paid for the advertising. When you have $250,000, you can spend a lot of money. So their names were literally plastered everywhere that you went. It was hardly anywhere you could go that you didn't see those names. And the general public does not know. A lot of people don't even know who their mayor is, Oscar. I mean, truly.
Wow. Tell me about Dream Green Volusia in terms of membership. Has it grown? It started with a membership of one, which is you. Tell me about the organization today.
So I earned a following in Ormond Beach back when this happened. Now, going countywide was much more difficult. The reason I chose to go countywide is the frustration in my own city that I couldn't get anything done. There were other cities. We have a lot of cities in our county. And so what I did is I went to New Smyrna Beach, which was on the other side of our county from where I live. And I asked the mayor there, who was a brand new mayor. He had gotten elected on an environmental platform. And I had followed that during our own crisis up here. They had a similar crisis in New Smyrna Beach, but they were able to overthrow their people. So he was a new mayor, and I asked him if he would come to a meeting with local environmental organizations so that we could discuss some of the issues in our county. And I was pleasantly surprised. He said yes. And so he came to the meeting, and there were around 26 people there, and it was the environmental groups in Volusia County, and I hosted it. And I had a set agenda, because it's really hard when you have 26 people that all want to talk to a mayor, you know. And so he was a little overwhelmed, I think, but he brought his own list of issues that New Smyrna Beach, as to what he saw in New Smyrna Beach. And so we talked about all these issues. And at the time, I mean, this has been a few years, but at the time, the number one issue was plastic and plastic pollution and the damage it's doing. And we all voted on what to work on collectively. And at the time, that was what we voted on. That's how I started the group. But I will say over a long, you know, we're talking a few years here, it's evolved. And while we still work on plastic pollution and litter in the whole county, we've done more education in this county than probably a lot of counties, because we've invested a lot of public speaking and time and all types of water projects and cleanup. But over a period of time, it became very apparent that the reoccurrent theme was overdevelopment here is starting to cause us so many problems. Polluted water everywhere. I mean, this is, like you said, across the state. So the Indian River Lagoon, you know, the lagoon is here, runoff to our springs. So just so many issues that come with overdevelopment.
So so as an activist, what would be the alternatives to watching that land get developed? From what I understand, there's a land conservation movement in Volusia County. Tell me about that.
Right. So we have a program here for land conservation called Volusia Forever. It is, the public voted to tax themselves to purchase land. 1/5 of a mill of our taxes goes towards land conservation, and it's for 20 years. The program was already in place for 20 years, and it ran out in 2020, at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, it ran out. So it was put on the ballot again, and it passed by 75% vote in our entire county. Hmm. So we have it in place right now. It started over again in January of 2021. And instead of land being developed, it's a willing sellers program. So a landowner comes to the county, they submit their land, and it has to be deemed environmentally sensitive land. There's 19 criteria that it's based on. It's not one or two things, it's all types. And it includes land management, invasive species, the species that are, if we have a species, you know, what species are on the property itself, wetlands, all types of 19 criteria. It's quite a bit. So it has to meet 10 of those criteria in order to be purchased. An appointed citizens committee hears about the land, and staff, county staff works with them. And then if they approve the land to be pursued for purchase, then the county council will vote also. And then the negotiations start, and either the county purchases the land or it doesn't. We have quite a bit of land in conservation in Volusia County. And our county is, I don't know, and we're not a big city. Like, we're not Orlando or Tampa or Miami or even Jacksonville. Daytona Beach is the epicenter of our county. And New Smyrna Beach is also fairly large now. It's grown in size. And collectively, we're a very big county, but we still have green spaces. And that's what's starting to really set people off with development, is because those green spaces are getting developed. And in some cases, the development was even approved 10, 20, 30, maybe even 35 years ago.
When back then, environmental impact and issues were very different than they are today. I mean, maybe there weren't as many people living here, and the impacts were different. And we didn't know about how those developments could impact, you know, natural places as we do today. So imagine approving that 30 years ago and building that today is almost twice as impactful.
Right.
So Volusia Forever was modeled after Florida Forever, right? The citizens voting to tax themselves to enable land purchases for conservation. And that means that this land will not be developed or go into agriculture. It will become part of a publicly owned land that people can somehow access, correct?
That is correct. So it has, so far, the lands that have been purchased are open to the public and can be accessed. And they have low impact recreation, for example, kayaking, hiking, biking, frisbee, things like that. Those things are allowed.
Do you know how much land has been conserved so far under the program?
In our county, so in the wildlife corridor itself running through the middle of the county, it's 53% has been protected so far. And I know that sounds like an awful lot, and it is, but then thinking in regards of like bears and panthers, and I just said we're a very large county. So obviously almost half is not protected either.
Right.
And then in the whole county, we are at, collectively in the whole county, we are at about 49% protection.
So there's still a lot of land out there that is sitting, that it's still in a somewhat pristine or wild nature. And it's privately owned. And the citizens of Volusia County have an interest in purchasing that land for wildlife corridors or for spring shed impacts. But what's happening, what you're saying is what's happening is that some of that land now is being cleared for development and is not going into conservation, and it's going the opposite direction. It's being developed. So tell me about it. Do you feel the program is a success? Do you think it can improve?
I do think the program is a success. 75% of the county voted to bring it back again. So I actually serve on the Volusia Forever Committee. I was appointed by my councilwoman to serve on it. I do think that there's some improvements that could be made overall with the program, but we're never going to be able to purchase, all this land that is available. To give you an example, the first time the program was in effect for 20 years, they ran out of money just shy of 12 years into the program. They spent all the money, and they did purchase an awful lot of land. I mean, they did, but so in addition to purchasing land, some of the money, there's a 15% set aside of the overall funds that are for land maintenance. Because once they purchase the land, they've got to maintain it.
Right.
And
because it becomes kind of like a park.
Correct. They have to do controlled burns. They have to remove invasive species. They have to maintain fire roads in some certain areas that are really large. I mean, there's various things that cost money in the land maintenance. So, and the staff that run the program come out of that. So 15% is set aside for the program operations. But I don't want to make it sound like Volusia County, that we are all wealthy, that we voted for this, because Volusia County is actually not a very wealthy county in general, the residents. I was surprised, and I supported the program, and we spent, our organization at the time, we were a community organization, but residents pulled money and started spending it on advertising the program as much as they could, because they wanted the program. And not everyone, we have so many new residents coming every day, Oscar, as you know, people moving here didn't even know about the program. So if you want them to vote for it, you got to educate them on it, right? So
right.
It wasn't a hard sell. Most people that move here, whether they just moved here a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, they move here for a reason. And as I said, we're not a big city and we still have a lot of green spaces left, but they are getting taken. And it, with all the development, it's causing pressures with things like runoff and just so many issues that we have now.
I find Volusia County to be, in my opinion, one of the most fascinating environmental microcosms in Florida, because it has, on the East Coast, you have the beaches, which are very famous. You have Daytona Beach, New Smyrna Beach. So you're dealing with climate change issues and sea level rise and pollution on the beaches. Then you have the Indian River Lagoon, which is kind of the body of water that separates the strip of beach from the mainland. And the Indian River Lagoon has seen massive algal blooms over the last several years, and is wrestling and trying to stop massive pollution, which has killed most of its seagrass and has in turn led to massive manatee deaths. And then if you move a little further inland, you have incredible springs in Volusia County, such as Volusia Blue Spring, which is the most important harbor for manatees in the winter. So if you look at Volusia County, is really a snapshot of all of the environmental problems that are happening in all of Florida. And so as somebody who's leading an environmental organization there, where do you think you're heading environmentally in Volusia County? Do you think that you can turn a corner and start to get some of these problems under control? Or do you see this as something that is a runaway problem that has no solution?
I am hopeful that we can turn it, but so let me just back up. I want to say that, you know, for me personally, there's been events that have happened, like the event that I explained to you that got me to start. There's been other events over a period of time, random events that happen that really affect me, okay? It makes me pivot or try to figure out what I can do, how I can change. There's a lot of strategy involved for me. I'm only speaking for myself and dealing with environmental issues and politics too. And your movie made an impact on me that I'm pivoting right now. I'm just telling you. I'm hopeful, but I'm also very aware of the fact that we're dealing with elected officials in our county, and we're no different than anywhere else, that are taking huge amounts of money for campaigns from developers and special interest. This is rampant in our county. And as I told you, in Ormond Beach about 5 years ago, they all got reelected. It is extremely difficult to be hopeful with that kind of money constantly. But the reason that I appreciated your film so much is a lot of times these issues are so dismissed. And I like honest conversation about real problems. I appreciate that no matter who it is, but it's hard to have an honest conversation when it's swept under the rug. So I'm hopeful for the future. And for me, I was pivoted again by watching your film, because it brought forward that, first of all, the problem's real, because, you know, I get around the state some, but not everywhere that you covered, which was nice. And it let me know. And I already knew about certain issues such as, you know, mining and Lake Okeechobee and spraying. And I keep track of these things, but it's hard to know, you know, all of them. So like you just said, our county is very diverse with environment. And yet we keep getting these people reelected over and over. Mm. And the people with the most money have the most name recognition. But more and more people in our county are seeing what's happening. For a long time, it was only residents who had been here for 10 years or more. And the newer people who moved here in the last few years moved here, but they were somewhat oblivious as to what was going on. They thought it was great because maybe they came from the Northeast and they moved here and it's like, what is the problem? We're from, this is great. We don't have, you know, the traffic here that, well, you're comparing apples to oranges. We've been changing ourselves, but we are changing so fast right now that even the newer people moving to our county are starting to see it. And that is giving me also hope because I'm hearing it more. And I'm hoping that they don't just come in and vote for the same people. I'm hoping that people wake up, pay attention, try to learn about the issues, try to learn who stands for what.
I find it incredible that in many cases, people who are environmentally conscious and advocating for environmental causes are labeled as some sort of radicals. But I think it's not radical to want clean air and clean water and open spaces and some forests and rivers and springs to remain so that future generations could enjoy them, which leads me to my last question, which is, some people out there might be listening to this wondering how they can get involved in helping protect wild places and places they care about in their communities. So what would you advise them?
So do you mean in Volusia County or across the state?
In Volusia County and across the state. Are there similar organizations elsewhere that people can join? If you're just somebody who's got living a regular life, has a regular job, and you don't have too much time, but you want to get involved somehow and you want to care, what do you do?
So in Volusia County, you can, if you don't have a whole lot of time, you need to please try to educate yourself on, I would say, like in our county itself, the county council. You don't have to be an expert. If you watch one or two council meetings, you can even watch them via, they're recorded. You can even watch them via Zoom or some other way. But I would say try to watch at least one or two of those to get an idea of how our local government works. But if you want to actually become active in the community, you can join, besides our group, you can join the Southeast Volusia Audubon, for example. They're constantly trying to save birds in the southern portion of the county. So this is a difficult question. In our county, my organization is the most active of everyone. And we are faced with constantly, looking for volunteers ourselves. We do water cleanups and roadside cleanups. We have our own water projects. We're in need of people to attend city commission meetings at times and speak on issues. We need support when we go to the county council level to speak on issues. The Florida Wildlife Corridor, we're really trying to support that right now because the funding is available for that at state level. They approved $400 million last year for Florida Wildlife Corridor in all of Florida. So, and outside of Volusia County, you really need to get engaged to save the wildlife corridor. Because I just had heard this, and you may have already known, or if it's not accurate, you can correct me, that 90% of our drinking water comes from the Florida Wildlife Corridor.
Well, it comes from the Florida Aquifer. Which is
in the corridor,
partially recharged by the corridor.
Okay. So they said this at the Florida Wildlife Summit, which I was just at. I knew it was a high number, but I didn't know it was 90%. So if you really need to get active right now in other areas supporting the Florida Wildlife Corridor, because with the funding, that land could possibly be purchased and springs could be protected from pollutants like runoff.
That's right. And going back to the springs, and I didn't bring this up earlier, but I'd like to ask you about it because it's a pet issue of mine, which I'm advocating for in my podcast. And that is the creation of a Great Florida Springs and Rivers National Park in areas near Volusia County and in Volusia County that would stretch from Blue Spring down in the south all the way north to the Ocklawaha River. As a possible location for this national park, and it includes a large part of Ocala National Forest. Do you think that's something that could happen in the future? And how do you feel about it?
I wasn't sure at first. I thought it sounded like a cool idea, but I've had time to think it through. I actually think it's a good idea. I've traveled to national parks across the country with my son and my husband. We visited a lot of them over the last, I would say, 15 to 18 years. I could envision how all of that could become a national park. And I think it would, while a lot of people would go there, I also think it would draw more attention. That's what generally happens, is it draws more attention to the area. So it helps to protect it, even though it is utilized by the public more. But keep in mind, I mean, as you already know, we have springs in those areas that are people are swimming in now. So I don't know that it, you know, it would change it from that much being used other than the land area being used.
Yeah, I think part of a national park is exactly what you said, the attention that it calls to a certain environmental and natural asset, in this case being the springs and rivers in Volusia County. And I think that were the springs in Florida to be elevated to the level of a national park somewhere in the state, it would raise a level of consciousness about how valuable and how unique the springs are in the rest of Florida. As you know, Florida has the largest springs and the highest concentration of freshwater springs in the world. And right now they are on a path toward destruction if we don't change some of the practices that are destroying them. So on that note, anything else you'd like to add, Suzanne, before we end this, about your thoughts on the future and your optimism? You have to be optimistic if you started this organization.
So I am optimistic because I've all the reasons I said, I think people are waking up more and more. I do want to say, different people start their organizations for all different reasons. Some are health reasons, some are something that happened, all different reasons. I have a great deal of respect for some of the other activists across the state. They're doing really good work, and they're dealing with, in some cases, horrible health issues. Everything from like the mining issue. I know that, the phosphate movie, I understand that was also a tipping point for me personally, even though we don't have mining in Volusia County. There are activists that are dealing with health issues, Fight for Zero Brevard. We have some of the strongest advocates in our state who are spending enormous amounts of time, energy, effort, trying to get people to wake up. And that is giving me hope because I actually believe it's working. I do. I wish it was working faster. I mean, who doesn't want these problems resolved quicker? But it's giving me a lot of hope. So I really hope that in their own areas, they are able to achieve some type of success, because some of these issues, they're just such huge atrocities. You know, when your aquifer is completely ruined, what do you do? I'm glad that that's not happening in my area. It's happening somewhere else, and I don't wish it on anyone. We are fighting our own fights in our county, trying to keep our aquifer from being ruined, right? I mean, so everyone's at a different stage right now. And some people are just dealing with atrocities that are so devastating to personal health, mentally,
everything. I think the important thing is that none of this is a lost cause. We still have beautiful places out there in Florida that are worth fighting for, that are worth advocating for, and they're worth rallying around. And so I think your organization plays an important role in Volusia County to bring people together behind that cause. And I think without that, then we're truly ruined. But as long as there are people like you out there and there are groups like yours out there advocating for this, it gives me hope. And I think it gives the state hope. So if you're out there listening, join one of these local grassroots organizations, either Dream Green Volusia, Volusia County, or others in your backyard that are advocating to protect these beautiful places so that we can have them for future generations. Suzanne, thanks for joining me today. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Nature of Florida podcast was brought to you in part by the Everglades Foundation, the Felburn Foundation, the Fish and Wildlife Foundation of Florida, and Explica Media. If you're enjoying this podcast, remember to subscribe on our website, The Nature of Florida with Oscar Corral.buzzsprout.com. That's The Nature of Florida with Oscar Corral.buzzsprout.com, or find us on your favorite platform and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.